Okay, so let's go into the next case with Dr. Paul Fishkin, a 67-year-old woman evaluated for adjuvant therapy for an ER-positive, HER2-negative tumor with one positive sentinel node. An oncotype was sent, which returned as 39 high. And here's Dr. Fishkin describing the patient.
She had had 1 out of 16 positive nodes, but, you know, strongly ER-positive and HER2-negative. And she really did not want to get any chemotherapy, but we went ahead and did her gene expression profile, which is very high, and we offered her, you know, 4 cycles of chemotherapy. She does not have Medicare coinsurance. She works as a housekeeper. You know, taking time off for chemotherapy, it's not a real convenient thing for her. We're trying to work our way out of it, and in this case, we backed our way into a pretty strong recommendation for chemotherapy. When the score came back that high, I think that was relatively convincing for her.
Any questions for the faculty?
What if we had done her gene expression profile, and while she ended up smack dab in the middle? You know, how would you take that patient?
The faculty discussed this case, specifically the use of Oncotype DX in patients with node-positive tumors and other genomic assays like MammaPrint that might have been considered. Dr. Huddis began the discussion.
There are a variety of tests available, and I think you have to separate them into those tests that are prognostic and those tests that are predictive. We know this patient's prognosis to a reasonable degree based upon conventional anatomy and pathologic findings, and what we care about is the value of additional interventions, especially those that might be toxic, and that's, of course, chemotherapy. So for me, the big bang for the buck is in predicting the benefit of chemotherapy, and the case boils down to your belief in whether or not this test is fully validated to allow you to withhold chemotherapy in a group of patients where overall a chemo benefit's been shown in addition to that of hormone therapy. My bias is that that's the biology, that there will be cases, lots of them, that are ER positive and that don't benefit from chemotherapy. However, the theme of this year's San Antonio meeting is to be careful about letting your biases get ahead of the data. And the validated data we have that says that you can safely withhold chemotherapy from a node-positive patient who happens to be postmenopausal with an ER-positive tumor is pretty slim. It's 8814, the SWOG study, and that's pretty much the beginning and end of it. It's a retrospective subset analysis, and there are very, very few events overall in that study that separate the two curves. So I would normally not order this test. If the patient was uncertain and on the edge about chemotherapy, or if there were comorbidities that made it a borderline indication or safety for chemotherapy that raised concerns there, I might use it indeed. I have faith that it's useful there, but what I have to say I don't have is certainty.
So, Eric, what are your thoughts about this? Would you order an Oncotype, a MammaPrint, or would you just turn around and say, well, you know, you've got a ER-positive tumor, maybe you don't need chemo?
So I actually wouldn't get a MammaPrint because, as far as I know, MammaPrint is not predictive. It is prognostic. Particularly if she said to me that she was anxious not to receive chemotherapy, I would think about getting an Oncotype. And, you know, I would agree with Cliff that we do not know with certainty that she will get no benefit from chemotherapy, even if her Oncotype score is low. But I think that the benefit is going to be pretty small. And I would be comfortable making a decision influenced by Oncotype in that setting.
So, Joe, Eric said the theme is be cautious. I'm thinking the theme that I've kind of been thinking a lot about is using biology in making systemic treatment decisions. I think that's going to be a theme you're going to see in all these patients. Oncologists are hearing about pathways. They're thinking biologically, Joe. What about in this situation, the ER-positive, HER2-negative situation? You talk about the trial that's about to begin. What about outside a protocol setting? Are there situations where you're going to order a genomic assay in a patient who has a node-positive tumor?
I think Cliff hit the nail on the head. I mean, it all boils down to how confident are you in relying on this test to spare the use of chemotherapy in someone whose life could possibly be saved by chemotherapy. And that notion makes me very nervous. And the younger the individual is, the more nervous I get. So, as a general rule, I will tend to rely less on the information provided by an Oncotype just because of the paucity of the data and the fact that the potential implications of a wrong decision are much more catastrophic, and the fact that, you know, we can get most people through chemotherapy without a problem.
So, Mark, another thing that we've seen in surveying oncologists is kind of interesting. We actually saw that the choice of chemotherapy was getting shaded somewhat by the Oncotype results. So if they had a patient, let's say even with a node negative tumor, at a high recurrence score, they'd be more likely to use an anthracycline and a taxane. If it was an intermediate case where they were really on the fence, if they did use chemo, it'd be more often to be used without anthracycline, TC. And you're going to say, well, we don't have any data. But intuitively, does that make sense to you or not?
Doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I think that there's no data to support that whatsoever. And moreover, if you're going to use cytotoxic chemotherapy, you want to use the best available agents that are at your disposal. I mean, this is a 2.2 centimeter node positive patient with an excellent performance status. I would not have recommended an oncotype in this instance. It may have crossed my mind if the patient protested strongly about the prospects of cytotoxic adjuvant chemotherapy, but you're asking this patient to bet really, you know, a life versus death decision potentially on a retrospective analysis using a second generation, not a third generation regimen that hasn't been confirmed and there's no level one prospective evidence to support. That's a stretch. I wouldn't ask a patient to make that bet.
So, Skip, how do you go about making the decision about what kind of chemo? Do you always use an anthracycline if it's node positive?
And that's a great question. Echoing, I would agree with what Mark just stated about how you would extrapolate that and into what chemotherapy you'd pick. I mean, for me, it's the setting of if I think it's a patient who's going to benefit from AC followed by a taxane or a TAC regimen, I mean, that's a decision we make. My place for using TC is in those patients that I think would have traditionally received just four cycles of AC in my practice, and possibly they're of an age or with a comorbid condition where I like to spare them the possible cardiotoxicity of an anthracycline. So for me, as Mark alluded to, some of this has not been confirmed. You know, TC is meant to take the place of AC for those patients where you're hesitant to give that, but it certainly hasn't been shown to be sufficiently active to substitute for the AC followed by T regimens or the more aggressive adjuvant regimens.
Eric, what about oncotype in patients with node-positive tumors and this patient specifically?
I'm pretty comfortable with oncotype here. I mean, I'm not aware of therapies that work in node-positive settings and don't work in node-negative settings, or, you know, if in fact chemotherapy isn't effective in a patient with a low oncotype score who has node-negative disease, it's pretty unlikely it's going to be hugely effective in the node-positive setting. And, you know, you can say that we don't have level one evidence, but at the same time, we have a lot of other data that would say that in a patient with, let's say, non-high-grade ER-PR-positive HER2-negative disease who's postmenopausal, the benefits of chemotherapy are pretty small. She may be giving them up, not taking them, but we're not talking about a big trade-off.